breaking now, an update to that shooting in Nash County. One person has been killed. The latest from the scene.
A victim in a deadly local home invasion said she had to play dead in order to survive.
The only light was on in my TV, and I see three people running saying, "Don't move."
Hear her terrifying encounter with three intruders and who police are still searching for. And how a rise in hospital violence is prompting new security measures at local hospitals. It's a spring takeover. Wind temperatures reach near record highs and the wet conditions on the way. We are following multiple breaking news stories right now in Nash County. Investigators say a child is dead after being beaten to death. Thank you for joining us. I'm Deborah Morgan.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. We're also following a double shooting right in front of an engine plant there. We just learned one person is dead. We have live team coverage of both developing stories for you. We want to begin with WRAL's Eric Miller, who just arrived at the scene where a 13-year-old was killed. Eric.
Oh, that's right, Dan. There is still an active presence here. Sheriff's deputies as well as Department of Social Services workers at this home. We've been asked to keep a respectful distance. That's why we've kind of moved down Dutchman Road here where they're currently investigating. Now, we know this all happened right around 4:30, just in the last 5 minutes. The Nash County Sheriff's Office told us they got a call as this 13-year-old was being rushed to the hospital with severe injuries. That 13-year-old later dying there at the hospital. Now, right now, deputies as well as family members trying to piece together how exactly this happened, how exactly this 13-year-old ended up beaten to death this afternoon. So many unanswered questions. The Nash County Sheriff's Office says they will not be releasing any names, any identities at this time. We'll keep bringing you more information here on this case, though, as we get it.
Absolutely. Okay, Eric Miller, we're still waiting to find out the details, but we know the tragic outcome, a 13-year-old dead. Eric in Nash County, let us know what you find out next.
Dan, a very tough day for those folks in Nash County. The Sheriff's Department there confirming, also following some breaking news, a fatal shooting happened just outside of the Cummins Rocky Mount engine plant right here. Investigators say there was a verbal altercation, a fight between two people that knew each other. We have some new video in to show you right now from the scene. You have this argument that happened in front of that engine plant. Both people involved in this case fired at each other. One man was hit and he died there at the scene. The other person involved got in his car, drove about 3 to 4 miles south, heading towards Rocky Mount, where he pulled over near a convenience store in the Brattleboro area, according to the sheriff's office. And that's when investigators came, and that person is being treated for injuries. So two people, they knew each other, one killed, one hurt in this shooting. Now those two scenes, the one we just told you about, and the one where Eric is, they're not connected at this point, just happen to be in the same county, about 25 miles apart. We'll follow the story as it breaks tonight in the Live Center and new information on the victim and the suspects as soon as we get it. Back to you.
All right, Mark, thank you. Happening right now, Wake County school leaders are taking a hard look at ways to improve security across the district. This comes after a series of threats prompted lockdowns at 6 schools in one day. WRAL's Aaron Thomas is following tonight's developments and joins us now live from Wake County School headquarters in Cary. Aaron.
Yeah, and Deborah, that meeting is actually still underway right as we speak right behind me. Several board members actually addressed the stress and trauma that several family members must be feeling after the series of events that played out at several schools. Now, tonight, the board is discussing a number of options, everything from better gun safety and even a background check system at different schools. The system is in its early stages. We're told that it could be going into effect as early as the next school year. Wake Schools is currently interviewing with companies for a screening system that would flag school visitors for certain criminal convictions or restraining orders, and that's according to the district's senior director of security. In the past 10 minutes, we started to hear a presentation from different representatives with the Be Smart program, and that's a framework to help parents normalize conversations about gun safety and better gun storage. One school board member tonight pleaded with family members to take this matter of gun safety seriously.
We need to be more diligent as a community and as a whole. If you're a gun owner, please lock it up. Please be safe. No one ever looks back and regrets taking that extra step.
Thank you. And on our late news beginning at 10 on Fox 50, we actually got a one-on-one with the school board chairperson, Lindsay Mahaffey. We'll hear a little bit from her and all the options on the table when it comes to school safety. Deborah?
Aaron Thomas live in Wake County. Thank you, Aaron.
Let's take a live look now at the state legislative building. A big day there today. The state Senate voted on party lines to approve a bill requiring schools to inform parents if a student asks to use a different name or gender. Critics of the bill say it paints a target on the back of LGBTQ students. Supporters say the bill is needed because schools are keeping secrets from parents when it comes to transgender kids and encouraging students to keep secrets too. Sponsor Senator Amy Gailey said there is no confidential relationship between a teacher and a student that the parents shouldn't know about.
Parents are the primary decision makers with respect to their minor children, not their school or even the children themselves.
We all want to solve problems for our constituents. But first, we should do no harm. This bill does harm. Full stop.
Senator Lisa Gafstein is the only LGBTQ member of the state Senate, and she and others, they oppose this bill, saying it will make LGBTQ kids more isolated and put them at greater risk of bullying or even suicide. The measure now goes to the state house.
Three people were shot during a deadly home invasion in Wake County. This is some of the damage you're seeing here. One that investigators say was a targeted attack. Bullet holes and shattered glass are left behind. An intruder was killed and others are on the run. One of the victims says she had to pretend she was dead to survive. Only on WRL, Destiny Patterson spoke with that victim, who recounts the moments her son was hit.
Here you can see Felicia Trowbridge's front door is completely shot out with glass shattered all over the front porch. Now she's trying to make sense of it all as deputies search for the suspects responsible.
This used to be a safe space for Felicia Trowbridge.
My life changed dramatically. I walk in fear.
Friday morning, a group of intruders came into her home around midnight.
The only light was on in my TV. And I see three people running saying, don't move. I could see the bullets coming out the gun. I played dead. I just fell.
During the violent home invasion, three people were shot, including Felicia's son and his girlfriend.
And my son was saying, Mom, I'm hit. I don't feel my legs. Mom, I'm hit. I'm hit. I don't feel my legs.
Meanwhile, she says bullets whizzed by her grandson, who was in this bed. He was not hit.
I could still hear my grandbaby crying.
42-year-old Jay Davis Jr. was also found dead inside of the house when deputies got to the scene. Deputies tell us he was one of the intruders.
Vance County deputies say that this is an isolated, targeted incident, but Felicia says that she doesn't know why she would be targeted. If you have any information, you should reach out to the Vance County Sheriff's Office. Destiny Patterson, WRL News, Vance County.
Trowbridge says her son is doing better after surgery. His girlfriend is also recovering. Henderson's mayor says it's possible that home invasion may be connected to a shooting in Henderson. Police say two men were found shot dead in a car on Golson Avenue this morning. New surveillance video a neighbor gave WRL shows two people running away from the scene. Investigators say it appears the men were shot from inside the car. Authorities have not announced any suspects.
Duke Health is stepping up its security at several locations amid a rise in hospital violence across the country. This comes as new data finds hospital workers are five times more likely to experience workplace violence than employees in all other industries. WRL's Brett Neese, live for us outside of Duke Raleigh Hospital, where new security measures are in place, and there's some more on the way, too. Brett, tell us about it.
Yeah, Dan, the way you enter this hospital and other Duke hospitals, it's not going to change much, but that new technology that's being installed will help security do a better job to keep you safe.
Whether it's for a routine doctor's appointment or an unexpected trip to the emergency room, when you go to the hospital, you expect to be safe.
We believe that it's important for us in the healing environment that we provide for our care team to feel safe.
But that safety can no longer be taken for granted, which is why Duke Health is adding a weapons detection system at Duke Regional, Duke University, and Duke Raleigh Hospitals.
They're designed to detect firearms and moderately sized knives and other weapons. So it's a system that I believe is uniquely built to serve our needs.
In a recent survey by National Nurses United, 48% of the more than 2,000 responding nurses reported an increase in workplace violence, more than double the percentage from a year earlier. That's why Duke Health has made a number of changes. The hospital system has added security, made fewer entrances accessible to visitors, and posted signage that aggressive behavior will not be tolerated.
So those are some of the things that we're doing in response to that. And, you know, we're just doubling our efforts to make sure that that continues to be the case.
Those new weapon detection systems, they're going to be installed starting next week. And Dan, hospital employees are also receiving even more de-escalation training.
It's sad that they have to handle that type of aggressiveness in a place that's healing people. Brett Neese, live for us in Raleigh, thank you. We also want to tell you, this coming Monday, WRAL investigates this growing type of weapons detection technology, how it works, how it's different than metal detectors, and who's installing it locally. Don't miss that story Monday at 5 o'clock.
Still ahead, crews are still working to save lives in Turkey and Syria following that powerful earthquake. An expert with NC State University explains why the devastation was just so widespread. Plus, a boost to North Carolina's clean energy economy and the jobs market. When a new electric vehicle charging station manufacturer will bring a new major investment and create positions in the Triangle, coming up.
And from sunshine in 70s to a cold rain, I'll show you the big transition coming up.
More than 7,000 people dead and thousands more injured in Turkey and Syria following a massive, powerful earthquake. The numbers likely to go up as crews continue to search among the rubble. Yesterday's 7.8 magnitude earthquake was one of the strongest to hit the region in about 100 years, and many survivors have nowhere to go. The earthquake destroyed thousands of buildings.
Rescuers are still fighting a clock, working to pull out survivors under debris on both sides of the border in Turkey and Syria. One NC State professor says this is an area prone to earthquakes. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan spoke to him about the disaster and why the devastation was so widespread.
The death toll continues to rise hour by hour after the catastrophic earthquake that rocked Turkey and Syria on Monday.
It's probably the worst time to have an earthquake, right? Everyone that's going to be home is in their house, sound asleep.
Del Bonensteel, professor of seafloor exploration and seismology at NC State, says it's one of the most powerful earthquakes to hit the region, but believes it was bound to happen.
Turkey's an interesting place. It started getting it's kind of a block there that's getting shoved to the west. As we get a big rupture like this, it's not just a little point that slips. This entire rupture would have went on for 100 miles. And so there's a big piece of the fault that's sort of unzipping. And so you've got a lot of ground shaking.
The area where the first 7.8 magnitude earthquake occurred is sitting on an active fault line. A series of aftershocks followed, causing further devastation.
We can't predict earthquakes to the kind of day or hour, that sort of thing, but we certainly knew that there was a hazard in this area.
While the earthquake was incredibly powerful, some 18,000 were killed in a powerful earthquake that hit the northwest region of Turkey in 1999.
In this case, you would have seen a lot of kind of just pancaking of buildings or collapsing of whole structures.
More than 3,000 buildings collapsed in this latest quake, many that have not been structurally sound or built to code due to the demand for housing in the region.
And they may have been building a lot of housing in recent years due to the refugee crisis. A lot of refugees coming out of Syria. So I'm sure there's been a lot of demand for, you know, speedy construction.
Chelsea Donovan, WRAL News.
Turkey shelters more than 3.6 million Syrian refugees, according to data from the Human Rights Watch.
The city of Raleigh is putting more than $500,000 toward a new program for people who are in a housing crisis. City councilors unanimously approving $525,000 to launch the Homelessness Prevention and Diversion Pilot Program. Most of that coming from federal COVID relief funds. Two nonprofits, Passage Home and Triangle Family Services, will split that money. They'll work to find temporary housing for people who are homeless or on the verge of losing their housing.
This diversion program will give us access to additional resources to create those short-term solutions while we're putting those long-term solutions in place, whether it be a one-month hotel stay while we're finding more permanent housing, helping them offset rent at their mother's house or their sister's house as a diversion step.
Passage Homes says what used to take about 45 days to find permanent housing for a client is now taking up to 120 days due to the housing shortage. The goal of the new diversion program is to help 145 people this year.
Another manufacturer is expanding into the Triangle area, creating hundreds of more jobs and strengthening the North Carolina clean energy economy. Chem Power Inc., which makes charging substations for electric vehicles, is building a new facility in Durham County. The expansion will create 300 new jobs here. The company plans to invest more than $41 million into the new facility. Chem Power says the average salary for the jobs will be around $88,000 by the third year. It plans to start making charging stations in North Carolina this year. Well, even with layoffs and fears of a recession in the headlines, more than half the companies nationwide plan to grow this year. That's according to a new survey by staffing company Robert Half. 58% of the employers surveyed plan to add new positions in the first half of 2023. 3% plan to freeze hiring. Read more on WRL TechWire about what these numbers mean for the jobs here in the Triangle.
Let's look to the weekend. Is it too soon to do that? I don't think so. When there's rain in the forecast, people want to know about it. Meteorologist Kat Campbell giving us a look at what's to come.
And we really wanted to highlight the weekend forecast right now because we have made changes to it. Previously, we had rain in the forecast Friday and Saturday. With Super Bowl Sunday coming up, we do want to let you know we have had to extend the rain into Sunday as well. It's just trending wetter all around. But really, the bulk of the rain doesn't get here till Friday, so you still have some time to enjoy this nice warm weather before the rain arrives. Friday, it's an 80% chance of rain, a 60% chance, and we bumped the rain chances up higher on Saturday, and about a 50% chance during the day on Sunday. But as we get toward the evening, you may be headed out to Super Bowl plans, we should begin to see the rain tapering off. Future cast showing on Friday, we've got the rain filling in. This will be a widespread round of rain as we see a cold front pass through the area. Friday, it's looking quite wet. It may be a washout. I'll withhold that use officially until we get the high resolution model data in. Bottom line, though, not a good day for outdoor plans on Friday. Saturday, we see this front move offshore, and then with some upper level energy moving in, the new model data is showing that we would see an area of low pressure spinning up, and that's why we have more rain in the forecast for the weekend. Saturday, it's looking like a more widespread rain. As the cold air begins to move in with the upper level energy, you can see some snow for the North Carolina mountains. The American model does want to end this as the potential for some flakes mixing in as we get into Saturday night into Sunday morning here locally. Other models not supporting that. The European model showing all rain here locally. Just want to let you know that in case you do see anything interesting on your phone weather app. We'll let you know if our thoughts change at all about this. But stay tuned for updates this week. Futurecast shows that rain moving out of here, though, as we get into Sunday evening. For tonight, just enjoy this nice weather in Apex with a nice warming wind in place around high pressure. And that means tomorrow we're likely to be in the 70s again. Upper 60s in Roxboro, 70 for South Hill, 72 in Durham and Raleigh, 71 in Rocky Mount, and 72 in Fayetteville. It won't be a clear blue sky tomorrow. We do have partly cloudy skies in the forecast, but all around it is not a bad day. In the morning, it'll be a little milder. Temperatures begin in the 40s at the bus stop to start, 65 at lunchtime. A nice day, teachers, if you want to let the kids eat lunch outside, just beautiful. 65, partly cloudy. And then as the kids are heading home, maybe to some after school activities, temperatures hover right around the upper 60s to lower 70s outside. So you have a beautiful day tomorrow. You still have fairly nice weather on Thursday. It's going to be warm and windy. The difference Thursday, it will be cloudy. And with a warm front nearby, we do have a little bit of lift in the atmosphere. That's why we have just a small 20% chance of a sprinkle. But things really begin to take a turn on Friday. So we go from temperatures in the low 70s with beautiful weather all the way down into the 40s with rain by the time we get to Sunday. And then just in time for next week, during the work week, we've got beautiful weather returning with high temperatures in the 60s. Only we could move those 70s and sunshine to the weekend.
Exactly. Valentine's Day looks nice.
Yeah, bright side. Thanks, Kat.
Still ahead, UNC's Armando Bacot is hitting the court tomorrow.
And it's all for the kids, where young players can meet the Tar Heel star and even get some tips on their own game tomorrow.
About an hour and a half, President Biden will deliver his second State of the Union address.
This will be Biden's first speech to a divided Congress, taking a live look at the nation's capital right now. The president will likely focus on a couple of things, the economy, of course, and national security. Also expected to make his case for re-election, though he hasn't formally announced his plans for 2024.
A student from Elizabeth City State University will be there for the speech, and you can watch live team coverage of tonight's State of the Union address here on WRL starting at 9. North Carolina grew a whole lot of corn last year, the most in the state's history.
A lot of corn. 2022 was the first time that we topped 400 bushels an acre, 456 to be exact. Agriculture Commissioner Steve Troxler made this announcement today during today's Council of State meeting, as they call it. Our other crops are doing pretty well too, apparently. Wheat and soybeans also up compared to last year. A lineup of NASCAR's best will come to our state this spring.
The All-Star Race will be held at the historic North Wilkesboro Speedway. Today, the track announced the lineup for the event's big concert. Country artist Chase Rice and Midland will perform at the Speedway Friday, May 19th. Tickets for the full weekend are sold out, but single day passes will be available later this month.
I would love to see that live.
That'll be good, especially back at that speedway. Mm-hmm. UNC's Armando Bacot is teaming up to host a youth basketball clinic in the Triangle tomorrow.
The Tar Heel star will interact with some young athletes, coaching them through some drills and a few games at the Raleigh Boys Club. During the event from 4 until 6, kids can also take pictures and get Bacot's autograph, of course. They will also get UNC and Dunkin' Donuts merch. You got to get some donuts to feed the energy after you're doing all the basketball shooting and dribbling. Bacot is part of Dunkin's collegiate name, image, and likeness partnership.
Well, it's going to be great for the kids.
Yeah.
How
Thanks
excited.
So much. Yeah, exactly. Thanks for being with us tonight here on WRL.
Our next newscast is at 10 on Fox 50 and at 11 on WRL. Have a great night.
Local news doesn't stop here. Continue watching on all major streaming platforms with the WRAL app.